Let's bless the word. The word's blessed, but let's pray Thanksgiving blessing right now. Lift your hands and thank him for the word. Father God, without the word, we wouldn't have food. Without food, we would die, God. There would be no vision. There would be no strength. There would be no spiritual health in our life without the word. So, Father God, we put a premiere on this, God. It's the highest, God. It's the preeminence of our night today and in our lives. And we hold the word up to you right now, saying thank you for the word. Thank you for the light to the path. Thank you, Father God, for the strength that comes from the word of God. Now, God, bring it into my spirit. Say that with me. Lord, bring it into my spirit. Let me receive it. Let me grow from it. And let me have everything you have for me through the word of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a seat. Let me talk to you about something that I hinted to this morning. I mentioned to you this morning about the seed that's in you. And I want you to listen to me closely, because what we have in God is something that science calls intelligent creation. Creation with intelligence. That means, that's the Christian science that say that, not Christian Science Church. The Christian scientists say that there's an intelligence to creation. Now, secular science say that it was all a matter of accident, that things happened and happened to come together, and chemicals came together that were not hostile to each other, so they joined, and in joining together, they became forms of life, and those forms of life evolved over the millions of centuries until finally there was a thing called amoeba, or a one-cell animal, and the one-cell animal decided it wasn't happy. And so it grew into a two-cell animal, and then a 10, and before long we had a glob of something. And then out of that glob of something, there was the accidental, maybe lightning struck it. Maybe it was that. Maybe something else happened. But by secular reasoning, the accidental creation of all that exists took place until finally here we are right here. We're all just a big accident. And that's what happened by secular thought. But I don't believe there's a human being on the face of this earth that's an accident. I believe every human being that's born is born with the foreknowledge of God. How many believes that? I believe that every baby that's born, whether in a proper marriage situation or out of wedlock, I believe that baby is born by the hand of God with a predestined design on that baby's life, not predestined to go to heaven or hell. That predestination was decided by Jesus Christ, when he sent his son to the cross. He predestined his son to die for us. But I believe after that predestination ends and our free will is here for us to have the fullness of God if we accept God. Now, the only thing really besides ignorance of the word, and that's why understanding is such a big word to me this year. I want us to have more spiritual understanding. But here's what I cannot do. I cannot put spiritual understanding in you. What I can do is this, and I will do this. I will give you the word as written in the word of God and as God reveals the word to me, but the understanding will come through your relationship with Jesus. You hear me? I'm going to press that more than ever I've pressed in my life, because I've found out the key to everything on the face of this earth. And some of you are going, duh, I knew that a long time ago. Well, I knew it, but it didn't hit me in my heart with revelation until this year of understanding that everything God has is for us, and everything that God's promised is ours, and those promises can be fulfilled and practically applied in our life, but it doesn't come through us making some bold, brash statement about faith or reading a scripture that says God has to do this and has to react this way, and I hold God's feet to the fire through the scripture. That's not at all how you treat the Almighty God. How you treat God is this. You have relationship with Him. That relationship with Jesus Christ causes that intimacy that you grow with Him, causes Him to share Himself with you. So you begin to understand who He is better. And when you understand Him, then the fullness of who He is comes alive in your life. What did John prophetically say in John chapter 1? What did he call Jesus? He called Him what? The Word. Didn't he? If he did, say amen. Amen. He said the Word was God, didn't he? And with God, and He was the creator of everything that's created. And He said that Jesus Christ, talking about Him, is the Word. So if we have relationship with the Word and loving relationship with Jesus Christ, then that Word, that's Him, He begins to share Himself with you, and all of a sudden the revelation of the Word becomes strong in your life. And this Word, this Bible that you read, these messages that you hear, are going to become, you're going to be able to apply them with understanding to your life, and you're going to go out and do what the Word says you can do. Amen? When I talked about seed this morning, I was talking about what God has, the potential that God has. I was driving down the road on Highway 65. I can tell you right where I was at because I could look over and see Brother Steve's big castle over there that you see, the largest house in America, I suppose. I've met that man. He's a man of God. I don't know if you know it or not, but he helped fund that movie we watched here. What was the name of that movie? God's Not Dead. In fact, Kevin, whatever his name was, the star of that show, was at his house the week prior to the week that we showed it. And we met and talked, and I was looking over at his house, and we were talking, and I was talking to the Lord, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit spoke to me about seed. I mean, just out of nowhere. Now, I want to tell you something. I understand that every principle in the Word of God has been abused and prostituted. I know that. There's always people that are going to take the principles of the Word of God and use it for their personal wealth or popularity or something. That's between them and God. I'm not going to quit standing on the truth of the Word of God because a few guys went around and prostituted the Word of God and caused it to say something it doesn't say for their own personal wealth or popularity. I'm going to stay with the truth, and this year we're going to talk about faith like we've never talked about faith, because faith comes through relationship. That's what I was saying, getting to a while ago. That relationship we have with the Word, as He enlightens Himself to us, gives us the faith, the ability to have faith to believe the impossible. If you believe that, say amen. When you get the Word that your daughter or your son or your grandchild or a wife or a husband or a friend or a neighbor or someone has a tragedy or a problem hit them, sitting right in your house, right there in the day, you may be alone. You can fall on your face before God. You can bow your head in your favorite chair that you're sitting in, and you can begin to intercede for that individual, and God will hear you and God will answer you where you are for that individual in another area. You see, that's faith. Using the relationship we have with God in the prescribed manner through relationship with Him, we apply His Word, and that Word becomes a practical application in our life. But I was driving down the road, and the Lord spoke to me about seed. And He said this inside into my spirit so strong that I literally picked up the phone and I called Dr. Brown, because Dr. Brown has a real good handle and understanding on seed in our lives. And I said this to him. I said, I don't know what it means exactly, but I know it was a rhema word, and I know God spoke to me, and I'm telling you this. I just left him a message and hung up. And I said, this is what the Lord just spoke to me. It said that every seed has in itself. Now listen to what the Lord showed me. Every seed has in itself the component built in the seed, has in itself the several things, but the first thing was the desire to become a harvest. Every seed. Every seed has in itself the desire to become a harvest. And some people say, well, why doesn't every seed become a harvest? There's a word in the Bible that tells us why. But I'm going to tell you tonight and talk to you about the power of that seed when it's used in the proper setting. Probably one of the greatest examples in the Word of God that tells us something that we overlook so often is the story of a little boy with 5 loaves and 2 fish. He brought his lunch to a gathering. He walked on a situation that he didn't understand and really didn't know, but he began to hear the Word speaking. Jesus is the Word, isn't he? And he began to hear the Word. And as he did, even a boy, now when it says boy, and you're talking scripture to under 12 years old. And so you're talking about a boy under 12 years old that's walking along, minding his own lunch, he's looking, my goodness, there's 15 or 20,000 people. Wonder what's happening. I mean, that was a real something for that day. And he hears a voice because in the divine nature of the Son of God, he was able to stand and speak, and all 25,000, how many people there was there, could hear him because God enabled them to hear the Word. It's a funny thing how God works. You can hear the Word of God if you're receptive to the Word of God. If you're not, you're deaf as a doornail. You say, well, you hear the noise, but what the Word says doesn't go into your heart. That's why I had us repent. You say, well, Pastor, I didn't do anything to repent for. Huh? You're breathing, aren't you? If you're breathing tonight and in the presence of God, it would require repentance to go into the presence of God by the mere fact that we're alive, we're human. And so repentance is a wonderful thing. It's not something to get down about. It's not something to get torn up about. Dr. Gorman's writing a book on repentance, and I wrote a chapter in his book about the necessity of repentance, the purity of repentance, the joy of repentance, the ability to repent. And when we come into the presence of God, we come before Him as Isaiah did when he had this incredible vision. He wasn't a sinner. He was a saint. He was a chosen man of God. And when he came into the presence of the throne of God and got the vision of God, he said, woe is me, a man of unclean lips. I'm talking about living in a society of people. We're like filthy rags in comparison to this thing, this presence that I'm feeling right here. And Isaiah began to repent when he was a righteous man. My friends, listen to me. It's not that the blood of Jesus hasn't saved you, but it's the fact that we're still living in a carnal body with carnal thoughts and carnal ways, and we still want our way. And when we come into the presence of God, repentance is saying, no longer my way, but your way. Do you see the value of repentance? It's an incredible thing. It's a wonderful thing. And when we come in repentance to God and we come before Him in purity, then what's in us, God is able to take out of us and plant that into a harvest. Every seed in itself has the potential of a harvest. Every seed in itself has the desire for a harvest. There's about 4 or 5 things I'm going to tell you what seed has in you that is in that seed that you're carrying right now that God's given you. But first, let me talk about the simplicity of the seed. This little boy came, and he came unaware that God was going to use him. He came unaware that he had any ability. He came unaware that he was about to interact with the Almighty God in such a way that his name, without knowing his name, we'll know that in heaven, but his portrait, which is pure, we don't have to call him something. We just know him as a boy. But the portrait of his life was going to be eternally marked by an act of obedience through a seed. He comes to God, he comes to the Word, unaware that he's listening to the voice of the Almighty God, and he gets close enough to come into the presence of God, Jesus. My friends, listen to me. When you come to church, if you're listening, say amen. Amen. When you come to church, that don't mean nothing. Because you can sit in church and be outside of the presence of God. You can sit in church and not be affected by the Word of God. You can sit in church and it not have any effect on you whatsoever. You can have what I'm going to talk to you about in just a minute. That these things can affect you and remove the potential of the seed that God's placed in you. You can come to church and just be here and walk out the same way you walked out, only worse because of a lack of hearing. And I'm not talking about hearing the Word. I'm talking about hearing in here, right in here. That's why I'm saying that when we come to the presence of God, it's not me you're honoring. That has nothing to do with it. I'm your pastor. I'm your shepherd. You should honor the position. But that's not who you're honoring. You're honoring God when His Word's being preached. And when you open your heart, open your spirit to repentance, open your heart to listening and hearing, open your heart to God, then God is going to do something for you and through you in revelation of His Word that's going to change you. So this boy comes up. And he's standing here. Andrew is under the, I didn't hear what's going on. I don't see what's going on. Like I've come into church different times, just kind of here, even though he's hearing the Word. But this little boy caught the heart of God, caught the power, the presence of Jesus, the Son of God. And this little boy walks up to Andrew. He goes, what are you guys all nervous about? He goes, well, I tell you why, because he's the blame now. He gave us something we can't do. Now he's the trouble. And he was the shepherd and the leader, and he was our boss, and now it's he because he gave us something we can't do. And he's having a nervous breakdown. That loving intimacy that Andrew had for Jesus now was exchanged for animosity because Jesus told him to do something he thought he couldn't do. Well, he knew he couldn't do it. How can you feed 15,000? Come on, you would have been just like him. You may not have had that animosity, but you might have. And he said to him, he wants us to feed all these people. And the little boy goes like this, here's mine, here's my part. You know how to interact the seed in your life and in the services that are going on? You walk up with your little part and go, hey, God, here's my part. That's all you have to do. You can keep your lunch and eat it. You won't be any better for it, or you can give it to God and watch what God can do with it. That little boy walked up and said, here it is. And Andrew goes, what am I going to do with this? I guess I'll feed Jesus. So he walks up, and he's holding the lunch down here, embarrassed by it. My friends, if you think every one of you sitting in the sound of my voice, if you think your input in every service isn't a seed, you're wrong. It is. Your input is as important as my input. Your gift to God, your seed, your open of your heart, the receptive to the Word of God, you listening, you having relationship with the Word of God, it's as important that you are and 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 you are than I as I am. Here it is. And he took his seed and walks to Jesus, and he is carrying the potential of a miracle in his hand. Andrew has the answer and doesn't recognize it because he has fallen out of relationship faith in Jesus. He doesn't believe. He knows he could do it, but he doesn't know he will do it. There's a world of difference, listen to me, in your walk with Jesus than knowing he could or he will. He will do it. And God gives us these examples so we're not tricked by the things that the enemy tricked others and tricked Andrew. But we can look at it and bypass the trick and go, this, oh, that's a trick of the devil trying to stop me. I'm going to tell you something. Every day, the devil's going to come to you. Are you listening to me? Listen closely. Every day, the devil's going to come to you with some kind of trick to take you out of relationship with Jesus. Some kind of trick to bend you up or twist you up, or some kind of trick to make you not have that closeness with Jesus, to trust him like you would have, to lose that true faith. Yes, you're a follower. Yes, you love him. Yes, you read the word. But Andrew did those things, but he was tricked by the enemy, and he didn't have the trust that Jesus could and would do something. Here's the scripture, the most incredible thing in that scripture. The Bible says in one of the Gospels where it's recorded that Jesus knew what he was going to do before Andrew came to him. The Bible says he already had it in his mind what he was going to do. That means Jesus already knew that this little sack of seed had the potential to feed 20,000 people. Your little bit. You can give it or withhold it. You can take it home with you. You can bundle it up in, I'm tired. You can bundle it up in, it wasn't my message today. I didn't like the music. I don't like the pastor. I'm mad at somebody. You can bundle up anything you want to and take it back. Or you can say, Father God, break my will, forgive me in repentance and relationship. I want to come in faith and trust with you. Here's myself. And you can come into this house every time we have a service and give yourself to the Father God. And I don't care what's going on in your life or around you, you're going to leave different. You're going to leave differently. Andrew took it to Jesus. Jesus already knew what he was going to do. Listen to me. Jesus already knows what he's going to do with the seed you have in you. He has a plan for it. The potential is in the seed. The carrier of the seed determines whether it will be used by God or not. You are the one that determines that. And it comes from giving. It was everything the little boy had. He gave the sack to Jesus. Jesus took the sack. And he said, Andrew, you can relax now. We've got the answer right here in this seed. Right there. Andrew said, I don't see it. I don't believe it. It's impossible. Three areas that God works in. You can't see what he's going to do sometimes. Sometimes it's hard to believe that he would do what he's going to do. And he always does the impossible. He is supernatural. He's God. You see, I want you to grow in relationship with Jesus this year more than anything. It will solve more of your spiritual problems than anything else you have. It'll answer more of your needs. It will give you a great relationship, will give you a greater powerful stand for God than you've ever imagined in your life. And the things that have tricked you and tried to take away your joy and your peace and the anointing that God's placed on your life, those tricks are going to fall by the wayside through relationship. I want you to pray more than you've ever prayed. I pray in the shower. Well, praise God. I sing in the shower, but you wouldn't probably want me to sing a special. I pray when I'm driving down the road. That's great. You're sharing your road with Jesus. That's wonderful. You're sharing your shower time with Jesus. You don't understand. I'm a busy person. Are you really that busy? Are you that busy? What are you doing from midnight to 7 in the morning? Say, oh, come on, don't be silly, I'm sleeping. Maybe if we took just 30 minutes of that time, you cannot believe the difference in your day the next day when you come to God in relationship. Jesus took the seed. Andrew was carrying the answer. He takes the seed and he blesses it. Let me tell you what happens when you give your seed to God. God blesses the seed that has the potential in it to do the miracle that you need. Do you understand that when you bring seed to God, you bring the kind of seed that you need the answer for? If you need God to bless you in some way, it can come in the form of finances. It can come in different forms. You can come in service to God. You can come in holiness before God. Seed that you plant in your life. Purity in your life. You can say, God, I pledge to you, and I'm going to plant the seed of holiness in my life every day. And I'm not going to be one of the boys or one of the girls any longer. I'm going to be a child of God wherever I am, whatever I'm doing. I'm going to live for you and serve you. I'm not going to be some wallflower or stuffed shirt. I'm going to be a loving, powerful child of God. And I'm planting seeds of holiness in my life. And I'm not going to let the devil steal the seed in my life. Because when I plant that seed, in that seed has the potential to have a harvest. And when I give it to you, God, you will bless it and it will do abundantly more than I could ask or hope or even believe for. He takes that 5 loaves and 2 fish, and he begins to break it. He breaks it down, and he begins to hand it to the disciples. He didn't just do this one time. He did it with 5,000 with that little boy. He did it again with 4,000 people. Two separate. Those weren't the same things that the guys just got the numbers wrong on. That were two separate miracles, one of 5,000, one of 4,000. It happened in the Word of God with the prophet Elijah. He fed prophets and multiplied the bread there. God did incredible things. But in this one, he took the seed of that little boy that Abraham was Andrew was holding, and he blessed it, and that blessing became something that did a snapshot, a portrait of that little boy. To this day, I'm preaching about him in the 21st century, in the year 2015, and we're talking about the time that Jesus was walking on this earth, sometime around between the beginning of 1 BC or 20 BC and to about 35 BC or AD after that time. And we're talking about that little span of years over 21 centuries ago, and here we are talking about that little boy tonight. Isn't that amazing? And you know what he did? He took the seed that had the potential and he gave it to Jesus. Let's talk about seed just a minute. In Luke chapter 8, the Bible is very clear about the seed. In Luke chapter 8, the Bible describes three different types or four different scenarios with the seed. And this is what he says. Number one, he says, when the sower sows the seed, I want you to listen to me at the beginning of this before you ever get into the listening to this. Every one of you have seed. And you're going to plant seed tomorrow. You're going to plant seed of love and mercy, kindness, or dissension and confusion, and unforgiveness and fear. Doubt, lack of faith, or you can plant faith. You can plant the seed of joy in other people, in places. But you've been given seed by the sower. In the first description, Luke talks about, this is chapter 8 in the book of Luke, the Bible says that, and I looked at this in different interpretations, but this is exactly what it says and what it would mean in the Greek and what it means in a real true translation, that the seed was planted on the side. That means it was randomly thrown about, and the seed was a sideline, and that's how some people serve God. It's a sideline. I come to church, I listen to church, I'm in church. I might be even involved in church, but I haven't surrendered my life to Jesus on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. It's a sideline. It soothes my conscience, and I've got some kind of a phony fear doctrine that makes God have to save me because I showed up at church. And the Bible says that that kind of seed that's sown on the side doesn't last because it doesn't have any soil to go into, and so it's nothing. The kind of seed that comes, the second one, seed on the rocks. And that's when you plant seed on an area where it can't take root. And what happens when you can't take root? Now, I want you to listen to me. And I'm going to tell you something. While I'm teaching this tonight and in these teachings, I have a fear of God when I'm teaching. I have an exceptional fear of God in my heart for me. Because if I listen to what I'm preaching and I preach what I'm preaching, and you hear what I'm preaching, and I ignore what I'm preaching, I have a tremendous fear that I'm not just shutting me off, but I'm shutting God off, and I have a fear of God in shutting God off in my life. Because 1 second without His hand of protection on me and all my other concerns in life won't mean anything, because calamity will overcome me, and I'll have no help. But I have a tremendous fear while I've been studying this. God, help me to listen to this word and not shut this word out. But God, help me to hear this word and not shut you out. Because when I shut you out, I'm playing with the eternal God, and He doesn't like to be toyed with. God has all the mercy in the world for the ignorant of His word. He has all the patience in the world for the ignorant of His word. But not one person, and I know every one of you in this house, not one person sitting in this room has any type or form of an excuse with God when we hear His word if we shut it out and say, I'm not going to receive it, I'm not going to listen to it, but I want to, or this is my way of thinking, any of that. You're shaking your fist in the face of the Almighty God, and I fearfully bring this word to you. Don't do that. You can shut me out. You can leave the church and go to another place to worship. You can do that. That won't take your soul away from you. I can't send you to heaven or make you get there. But I am telling you, the word of God will cause you loss if you shake your fist at the very word of God. And when He says that seed that falls on the ground, a part-time relationship, is seed that dies without any potential, the potential left in it. Or if He says that seed that's sown on rocks, do you know what that means? It says this, that at the first opportunity, the first temptation to sin, you take it. You take it. Well, I quit doing those things I used to do, have you? Yeah, probably those things. What about the other things we don't like to talk about? I don't do the things that I used to do. Praise God, I'm being sanctified. I thank God for that, and we all should. We should be walking closer to Jesus every day. But what about the intangible sins that you and I and everybody in this house has a tendency to want to get involved in? Ever wanted to get even with somebody? It's a seed stealer. Am I the only one? You ever want to see somebody get theirs? I'm a seed stealer. Have you ever actually just kind of hated somebody? Anybody besides me? Well, we don't want to raise our hands on that. Well, I will. I had good reason, I thought. But here's what I found out. It was a seed stealer. I didn't stick around to see what God was going to do in their life. And then I had to come back and go, oh my God, I'm so sorry, I repent. They were right, I was wrong. Have you ever? had unforgiveness in your heart? Now see, this is the side we don't talk about. It's easy to talk about, I don't do meth anymore. I don't embezzle from the IRS anymore. I don't steal, I'm not immoral any longer. I don't do those things. Those are the big old look at me stuff. But what about the stuff that invades our heart? What about the things that, listen to me, listen closely. What about the things that steal your seed every day? What about the things that stop your potential? What about the things that we walk around saying we're a child of God and talking in religious terms, but the fact is our heart has darkness in it? What about those things? You see, the Bible says that when they fall, the seed that falls on the rocks, at the first opportunity of being tempted, you take that opportunity. Well, I have a tendency. We all have tendencies. Every one of us were born with the potential to die and go to hell. And every one of us were born with the potential to live and have Jesus and serve God. I have a tendency to do this. I have a tendency. Well, let me tell you something. Are you listening? Relationship with Jesus will curb those tendencies. Let me just tell you, by the way, if you think I'm preaching to me tonight, I'm preaching to me, because when I was studying this, I had a totally new fear in my heart. My God, am I doing anything that's playing with your honor? Am I living any way, God, that's saying my way, not yours? Am I doing anything, Father God, that would keep me from not just the potential of what you have for me, but cause me to harden my heart and lose my way with you? God, am I doing anything? And I became fearful when I was studying this, because to be in the presence of the Almighty God, the beginning of fear and understanding is the fear of the Almighty God. And I begin to assess my life very, very carefully. God, am I sowing seed on rock that you gave me? Think about this. I just have so much seed. You just have so much seed. Am I taking what God gave me? And am I taking that every seed has the in itself, the potential of a harvest? Are you listening? Am I dropping it on temptations to be ungodly? Am I dropping it on temptations to be unchristlike? Am I spreading it in places where it can't take root? Is that more important to me than pleasing Jesus? And if it is, the fear overwhelmed me. Because nothing's going to get past the eye of the Almighty God. Nothing will escape the knowing of the Almighty God. You see, I'm going to teach you about seed, but I'm going to teach you about the potential danger of seed when it's used wrongly, because you just have so much. I've met so many people that go through their lives and at the end of their life make this statement: I would give anything on this earth to go back and change some ways I thought and acted and did. It's too late. That seed is gone. Is God merciful? Yes. But the reward, the harvest of that seed, you'll end your life as empty and bare. But I'm going to tell you, the rankest, the most vile sinner on the face of this earth can take the seed of God and begin to sow that seed in good ground and stand before God and hear these words: well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys that I've prepared for you. The first time is part-timers. The second kind of seed spreading is on the rocks. The third time that Jesus talks about seed is talking about seed thrown, and it had to be. Listen, this isn't seed that's accidentally dropped. This is seed that's intentionally cast. Intentionally cast. When you intentionally are a part-timer, when you intentionally, use the seed God's given you, your influence, to do something that's less than godly. The third one, when you sow seeds or spread seeds among thorns. The Bible says that the seed's choked out, and this is what happens to it. The cares of life and the success of riches. I mean, it hits both ends of the pendulum. Look, success, riches, blown lives, fear, when trials and tragedies come. You don't believe. You know he can, but you don't think he will. You know he's done it for others, but you don't believe he'll do it for you. That's a lack of relationship. That's all it is. So he says the cares of life are the riches of life, both ends, and everything in the middle. Anything that can distract you from your relationship with Jesus, that's why success sometimes can cause you to lose out with God. That's why tragedy, sometimes you'll see people quit church and walk away because of something that didn't go their way or something that hit them hard, and they believe, they thought God should have done something he didn't. And the truth is, God had a plan for them, but they left before the answer. A rich man came to Jesus one day and he said, What's it going to take for me to have eternal life? Jesus said, nothing to it all. But he said, I know. See, God already knows the inside of your heart. He knows every motive you've got. He knows your pure motives, and he knows your nasty motives, just like he does mine. He knows when you want to do something your way or do it his way. This rich man walked up to Jesus, and he said, what do I have to do to inherit eternal life? And he said, I can tell you what, I want you to go sell everything you've got, give it to the poor, come and follow me, and you'll have eternal life. The rich guy goes this, my seed, I can't do that. I can't plant my seed in absolute trust with you. I can't do that. And so he walked away. The cares of life, he thought, my, if I do that, then this is going to happen. And he started the what if game every one of us play. And he walked away sorrowfully. He had all of his money. He had his wealth. But he was as empty. I'm going to tell you something. If you do it your way, you'll live an empty, bitter life the rest of your life. You do it Jesus' way, and you'll live a life of joy and peace and prosperity. Amen. He walks away. He doesn't get 100 yards. And Peter, of course, Peter, well, what about us? We left home and family, and we give up the fishing business, and we do. What about us? Is that same thing go for us? And Jesus said, and he said, and by the way, how can a man be saved? Jesus said, how can a rich man be saved? It's pretty tough. He said, it's harder for a rich man. And he's not just talking financially riches. He's talking about whatever you put above God. It's harder for that man to enter the eye, go through the eye of a needle, than it is for a camel to go through the eye of a needle and that man to be saved. Jesus and Peter goes, how can we? And then Jesus says this incredible thing. With man, these things are impossible, but with God, all things are possible. And then he says this. Listen, here's the part we overlook. Then Jesus says to those men, for those of you that have given up yourself, quit acting and being and living like and for yourself, that you've taken the seed that I've given you, because there's just so much, and you begin to plant that seed in good places. He said to that person, he said, there's going to be a return of 100-fold. Listen, in the life to come, well, we all know that, but he said, in this life too. And let me tell you what that young man did, because he didn't wait to see. You see, he threw his little hissy and he walked out. And what happened was he just missed on a 100% return on everything he had. Because I'm going to tell you what Jesus was going to do. When he came to follow Jesus, Jesus was going to give him 100 times the wealth he had so he could use it for the kingdom of God. Because one of the ministries in the Word of God is giving. And that man would have been able to support tens of thousands of projects for God. But he got mad and went home with what he had and ended up empty and broken and bitter because he wasn't willing to give it to Jesus. So you see, I'm very, very careful about what I'm saying to you because I'm applying this to me before you. The cares of life, riches and poverty, the cares of life cause it to fall among thorns. And here's what the Bible says. Listen to this one word about that. It's extremely here. If you take the seed God's given you and you sow it among thorns, having it your way, doing it your way, the Bible says there'll be no fruit in your life, none whatsoever. You're just an apple tree with no apples, a peach tree with no peaches, a pear tree with no pears. There's no fruit. But when we heard the word of God, the Bible says forces us to go forth and do this. He said, when you take the seed that God has given you and you bow your heart to Jesus, and you say, Jesus, I want to do it your way. I want to serve you the way you asked me to. I want to serve you, Lord, in honesty and fullness. God, I've heard too much to not be accountable. Lord, I fear you. God, my heart is to bow before you in service. The Bible says you're going to take seed and put it on good ground. It's when your heart is honest and you keep the word. That's what the scripture says. When you, with an honest heart, keep the word of God, that's living a Christ-like life. Loving, forgiving, caring, a servant, willing to be what God wants you to be, do what he wants you to do. When you live that and have relationship with Jesus, that relationship's going to create faith. And that faith is going to be able to say to that mountain, speak, be removed, and it's going to be cast into the sea. The faith's in you. The seed that's in you has the desire in itself to become a harvest. It has the potential, spoken by God, to be in harvest. And it has a destiny by the authority of God's spoken word to be a harvest. Every seed in itself, inside the seed, has the desire to be a harvest, the potential to be a harvest, and the predestined authority of God to be a harvest. If you use the seed God has given you in the right way. Let me ask you something tonight. And I've never been more serious about a teaching. If you didn't get this all, you need to get the tape tonight and listen to this one several times. Because as I was preparing it, I'm telling you again. The fear of the Almighty God came on Sam Conley. Not to preach it, to live it. Not to speak what he spoke through me, but to be an example of it. To follow. To put my seed, that limited amount that he's given me, my lunch, my talents, my gifts, my will, my understanding, my knowledge, my trust, to put it in the hands of Jesus. Do you hear me? It's a sobering thought to think that we would use the seed of God that has in itself potential, destiny, and authority to do anything else but to bow before Jesus himself and say, Father God, here it is. Use it. Use it in a right way. To leave before we see the answer. to not believe God's going to do what's best for us, to follow us, to walk away and quit, to not have the ability to have faith because we don't have relationship. We're too caught up in ourselves. My friends, tonight, I don't want to be guilty of any of those things. Can you say amen? Now, I'm going to tell you something tonight, and I want you to listen to me, because I'm going to put a really heavy load on you here. But it's a necessary heavy load. I'm going to ask you if, and you've heard this message, I want you to listen. I'm going to ask you if you're sincere and you want the potential of your life to be used the way God wants it to be used. Are you listening? If you want that potential to be used the way God wants it to be used, I'm going to ask you, and this is the heavy load. God knows your heart. Don't play games with the Father. If you're sincere, I want you to come to the altar right now. And not because anybody else does. This is a very, very, God is looking at the intent of your heart. If you don't mean it, you don't want to, I'm not mad at you. Please believe me. But if you want this, I want you to come to this altar right now. And I just want you to play a little bit like you are, Pastor Donnie. You don't need to sing. I want to give you that opportunity. Bow before Him tonight and just, I'm going to do it in just a minute. I'm just giving you that opportunity to bow before Him and say, Father God, I want the intent of my heart to be so right before You that, God, the seed that I sow won't be wasted on part-time, rocky, or thorn-covered soil. But my God, I will serve You and live a life like Jesus, for Jesus, in relationship with Jesus. And the faith in my life will begin to grow, and I'll be able to apply that to You. Mighty God, in Jesus' name, I surrender my life to You right now. I don't withhold anything. Here's the lunch, God. Here's my 5 and 2. Here's my wealth. Here's my poverty. God, here's all the difficulties that I have in life. Here's my tendencies to be less than like You.